His word will not fail. His word will not fail us. And we thank God for faithful ministry and ministers. And we have such a one in our midst today. Amen. The elect lady, as Pastor affectionately calls our dear sister, Elder Sister Karen Liverman. So let us receive Elder Sister Karen Liverman and the gospel of the grace of God with a very hearty amen. Amen.
Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You know, God is good every day. Hallelujah. God is good every day. We thank and praise the Lord for bringing Sister Ruth back safely from her travels. We trust that she had a great time. And we thank and praise God for Sister Jean. Amen. She's one. Let's give the Lord a hand for Sister Jean. Amen. Amen. She is one of our faithful members of our women's fellowship. I don't think of her as a visitor. I think of her as just being a member of the body of Christ who the Lord leads faithfully to come and worship with us during our women's fellowship. We just thank and praise the Lord. His wonderful blessings, hallelujah, that were imparted to us in eternity before the foundation of the world. And we are all blessings in the body of Christ. If you'd be so kind to pray with me, I'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of coming boldly to the throne of grace. We're at right now asking, Lord, that you might remember our pastor. Continue to strengthen his body, Lord, as he's having this time of respite. And, Father, we're asking that you may also encourage his dear wife, as well as his daughter, who are faithfully serving to help in the mending process. Father, we're praying for those that are yet not here, that are on their way. We're praying also for our World Wide Web audience. We're asking, Lord, that you might illuminate our minds and our hearts and our souls so we can behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God, realizing who we are in Christ and what was wrought for us through the blood of Jesus in eternity before the foundation of the world. Father, we ask these blessings that you might be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm back on the pastor's pen. Oh, yeah. In prayer, I was led to reach back and get one from 2010. One I was kind of afraid of. I've been wanting in my heart to talk to you about vertical viewing. However, it's not until today that the Lord has equipped me. Hallelujah. So pray for me as we go. Because I'm venturing on something, and if you can get this, it's going to revolutionize your life. It revolutionized mine. So we're going to be talking about vertical viewing. For those in our World Wide Web audience, if you could refer to the pastor's pen dated Sunday, November the 14th, 2010, as well as the pastor's pen dated Sunday, January 14th, 2014. And we have our reader, Deacon Gavin. And when you see me coming, you know where I'm coming from, don't you? Yeah. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1. No, we're going to start at 3 to 5. And then as you're getting Ephesians, you know what's next, right? Colossians. Yeah. Turn to Colossians 2 and 10. You may say, Sister Karen, why do you keep beating us over the head with Ephesians and Colossians? Well, you know what? If you don't have salvation right, you're not going to have nothing else right either. So, for those that might be new in our audience, for those who don't know, the most important thing that was done for you was salvation through the blood of Jesus in eternity before the foundation of the world. If you can get a handle on that, you're going to be able to understand what goes on in our life processes according to the divine will and purpose of God. And that's important for your peace. You know, when we are having our doctrinal conferences, we always start with viewing life from the vertical plane. And what God did for us in his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Now, for a while, we've been saying that for years. We've had 20-something doctrinal conferences. But, you know, sometimes the light comes on. The entrance of his word bringeth light. The light comes on at different times for different people. And we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we keep kind of repeating these things to you so you can get it. Then turn the light off at night and stop scratching and walking and moaning and complaining. And you can have some peace in this walk of faith. See, we want you to stop sightseeing. And we want you to start walking by faith. Can't do both at the same time. Did y'all know that? You can't do them both. You can't be a walker by faith and a sightseer, moved by what you see, hear, and touch and feel, these senses. That's going to keep you confined, and it's going to take away your peace. Yeah, but if you view life from the vertical plane, for where God has had his eternal plan of salvation put in place in eternity before the foundation of the world, it's going to help you. So, reader, can you please read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5?
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, or heavenly places, in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's according to the good pleasure of his will. Guys, it's not about us. It is all about him. And can you follow that, please, with Colossians? And see, notice it talked about spiritual blessings in him in the heavenlies. That's talking about eternality. That's where our blessings lie. They're eternally put in place by him in eternity before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So what's going on in your daily life was mapped out and planned for you in eternity according to God's eternal will and plan. Not about you. Okay?
Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, King James Version. And ye are complete in him.
Say that again.
And ye are complete in him.
Hallelujah.
Which is,
go ahead.
Which is the head of all principality and power.
Do you know that God got the last say so of every single detail in your life? God's got the last say so. And when did he say it? He said it in eternity before the foundation of the world. See, God is not making daily decisions that you can influence and impact. If you just pray enough, if you just fast enough, if you just say I forgive enough, if you. Guys, you're not in the equation. God doesn't have to consult you. God doesn't have to take your opinion, which is changeable from day to day. He doesn't take that into account as to how your life is going to unfold, because it unfolded in eternity before the foundation of the world. You got to get that. You got to get that. And that's going to cause you to have peace. That'll allow you to rest in him. Rest, because it's already done. Turn the light off. Don't pace and scratch. What is already is. Because it was completed in Christ in eternity before the foundation of the world. Now, I cannot negate the fact that we are to learn and do better. As we know better, we do better. This is not a license to sin and to live loosey-goosey and to do any kind of thing. You know, we were raised in time past about holiness, although we didn't know that. We thought holiness was wearing a long skirt and no makeup and looking all solemn and crazy and all of that. You know, we come away from that. We know that it's spiritual, eternal. Holiness is that being separated unto God. It hasn't. Now, we do not approve poor conduct. As you know better, do better. We know we're all depraved. We all make mistakes. But don't keep bumping your head making the same one. Grow up. Mature. Move on with Jesus. Amen. Amen. As you know better, do better. But it's not of works. This, what you do doesn't impact your eternal position in Christ. Hallelujah. You are who you are because you were who you are. And where were you? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. And we can't talk about that enough. We're not going to get into our document, and it's entitled Scriptural Comprehensions of Measure, The Matrix. It talks about the physical, secular, misconstrued functionality of measures, which is the matrix. And we're going to talk about what the matrix is. And we were in this document for a couple of years, and then I got lost. I don't think just me got lost. I think a lot of us got lost. And I told the pastor, I said, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I got to a certain page, and I got into the abyss, it looked like. It was in the darkness. It was like I wasn't connecting anything. It had gotten to the point where I was not comprehending. And I know that, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know that. But I just told him, I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And maybe there's some others here that don't know what you're talking about either. And then we went back to, talking about, we were getting into relativism and a lot of abstract things, because we know that the real work is in the invisible. We know that the real work is spiritual, eternal. It's not natural and concrete. So we went back to something that we could reconnect with, and then we're taking it further. So the Lord feels that I'm able to kind of convey a little bit to you today. And again, pray with me, and I'm praying for you that you get it. When mechanized in physicality, secularity forms, the matrix is a mold utilized in stereotyping designed impressions and types of illustrations from which human metal poles are imaginatively cast as plated typotrees. These plated significations utter graphed, duplicated impressions in matrices. Therefore, from the Latin matrix or matrix, conveys breeding or matter or matra, which means mother in the Latin. It implies the originating source. The originating source. Remember we said everything is of Christ in eternity? Everything that is has always been, and it came from God's original decree. See, God is not making decrees daily. It was one decree. Everything, as we read in Colossians chapter 2:10, said it completed in Christ. And when was it completed? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. Navigations in search for definitive uses of measured illusions are instilled, yet merely mirrored in reference to persons, characters, and occurrences. So what you're seeing is not the real. It's a duplication of what was actualized in eternity and manifested in time. Organizations of what are produced in manifestations describe depositions over time's arrayed analysis. Such imbue resides for analysis discerning between their imaginative and resourceful deposits. The isolations imaginatively engage many phrases or solids, such as induced impulses, are embedded. Multi types of variation misinformations are exchanged in databases for immediates, into which composite material entropies are engraved. Consequently, nothing can be reliably presented as designed or willed in this stratum. So what it's saying is, again, it's all about God. It's not involving your input. Think about Job. When Job started questioning God, what did God tell him? Didn't he say, where were you when I formatted the world? I put the mountains and divided the seas, separated the lands. Where were you? He said, I did it all on my own. Your whole life is done all on his own. Your individual life, like the snowflakes or the sands in the sea, is designed for you by him. No accidents, no coincidences, nothing just happening. And we got to get that. We think our life is an array of events that we are orchestrating, or we are calling the shots, or we are somehow co-piloting with God. You are not a co-pilot. God is in complete control. You just got here. Yeah. And everything about you is really about Him and His will and purpose, His eternal will and purpose for your life in the cosmochasm of what He has created, which is no mistakes, which is no coincidence. It's not an error. So it's no mistake of what's going on in your daily living. It's according to His divine will, plan, and purpose. And we got to get that. We got to get that. In this sense, the matrix embellishes a mold for shaping dated displays of forms which allow a finite, notice it says finite, number of audiovisual channels to be decoded to a visual disc used in the production of records. And these records, again, are for God's testimony. It's all about God. Functionality in this vein imbues impetus, crossbars connecting multiple inputs to multiple outputs in elements of variations which constantly change. Virtual reality environments series exhibit productions detailing who comes in your life, what happens in your life, when it occurs, and where you are when it occurs. Such are conveyed especially in advancement of stimulating networks of science fiction actions reloaded in sequence to revolutions in contemplations based on manifestation tracks. These recorded collections chart the tailspins associating the transformation of Matrix meta series. Such defy all semblances of controlled organizational management of analysis and techniques for consistent strategy. There's no mistakes here. This absence of sharing consultations, that's where you come in, where you think you come in. God ain't sharing it. This absence of sharing consultations invariably group variable messages in compacted chambers of disambiguation. Arrays of grids list particles associated with the tilted links directly intended to change the points, which reduce the number of key devices for facilitation roads in the matrix. What is the matrix? The matrix is a creation that contains time. That's what the matrix is. It's a creation. See, all things are created. Time is a creation, just like a tree is a creation. The matrix is the containment of time. It was created to contain time and sequencing. Most of us can relate to moving pictures. And if you sometimes might have had the privilege of looking at some of the early Walt Disney animations, where it would take so many frames of the same duplicate picture to make a motion. And I'm not sure, because I'm not that scientific. You know, my husband is the one with the science background. But if you can think of, like, taking, you know how you can, like, flip through all these series, and it makes, he did it with Mickey Mouse. The first one I saw was with Mickey Mouse back in the 30s. And so the Matrix is a series of frames of time. And we know time is warped. It's not a straight line. It's warped. And that's why time can goes forward, but in some instances it may go backwards. Yeah, it may warp or morph backwards. But the matrix is only that creation of the capsule of time. And it is not separate. In times past, we were trained that time was separate or segmented in eternity. It's not. It's interfaced with eternity. Based on that, we are all right now in the eternal now. You are right now in eternity. But our lives, while we are still here in our consciousness, in the time capsule, are for the divine will and purpose that God has for His glory, for His testimony. So I need you to get that. We are in eternity. We're not glorified. But our glorification has already happened. And when does it physically occur? When we leave the time capsule and enter into our eternal abode in Christ. We're already in Christ. But our purposes will be completed. That's why when people say, oh, he died before his time. No, he didn't. His time was measured in the beginning. And once the measurement is completed, once your life is completed, the plan and will and purpose of God for you is completed, you leave the matrix. Hallelujah. So there's no such thing as dying before your time or leaving the matrix before your time, leaving the measurement of your life before your time. Because your time is hidden in Christ in God. Hallelujah. It's predetermined and prearranged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm looking at my dear sister Ruth, who I love. Oh, my God. I thank God for her every day. You know, she and I had the blessing of being neighbors for 14 years. And when I had to move, because when I moved in my house, I had 2 children. And when I left, I had 8 kids. Yeah. Yeah. The house just got too small. But the only thing I regretted about moving was leaving dear sister Ruth. You're talking about a wonderful neighbor. Hallelujah. One sent to me from God. I remember as a young girl in college watching her and her family. You know, she was so beautiful and still is beautiful and lovely. But she was not stuck on herself. She was well educated. She was well dressed and her kids were well mannered. Her husband was handsome. And she didn't let none of that touch her. None of it touched her. She was always the same. Here I was, a little girl from the neighborhood. You know, sometimes little churches have, when our church at the time was small, it was 300 people, so when I got there, it's now like, what, 3,000? You know, great, big, huge church. But she was always the same, always the same. And I thank God for that, that the Lord allowed our lives to intersect. And He's allowing people to come into your life as an intersection as well. The people that come to you are not by accident. God is orchestrating even your relationships. Yeah, yeah, He's orchestrating it all. Sometimes we pray to get people and sometimes we pray to get them gone. I know I have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, but when they were there for the purpose and divine will and plan of God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. See, we want to separate that. We want to say the good, all good come from God. Do you know bad comes from God too? What is uncomfortable for us, what's painful for us, it all comes from God. Because God is in complete control. Make no bones about it. God is controlling your life.
Amen.
Amen. In this sense, we already talked about what it is. That it is that creation that houses time. That's what the matrix is. Ephesians 3:18, and could you go there for us? We're going to look at Ephesians 3:18. This is the Ephesians prayer, and I want you guys to study this like you used to study the Lord's Prayer in times past. And you know, that was not our prayer. That's according to the kingdom gospel, and it even talks about thy kingdom come. That's about the kingdom. Our prayer is the Ephesian prayer, and he's going to read it for us now.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ,
hallelujah,
which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled, might be having been filled,
hallelujah,
with all,
all
the fullness of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He's talking about the light of God. Can you read that last one in the Greek for us? Knowledge of God. That's okay. Yes, in the Greek, please.
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, from the interlinear Greek text. And to know the excelling knowledge,
hallelujah,
love of Christ, in order that ye may be filled to all the fullness of God.
Hallelujah. To know the love, to know the knowledge. The knowledge of who you are in Christ and what was wrought for us through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The eternal workings of God. Ephesians 3:18 states that you may be, having been fully abled, to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. The conjunction rendered that conveys the subjective mood and aorist tense to connote God's expressed purpose. Maintaining the flow of the context of the antecedent verses, the conveyance is that Christ may live in the hearts of his elect and through the faithfulness of God, in him having imparted spiritual comprehension to designated ones, that's you, the body of Christ, as those having been rooted and grounded in eternal knowledge. Hence the statement of this verse is that you may be fully able to comprehend with all saints the extent of God's comprehensive grid for his beloved.
Right.
It's talking about the entrance of his word bringing light.
That's right.
And that goes back to the knowledge of who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Can't separate the two.
Amen.
The light of the word shines on who you are in Christ and what was wrought for you through the blood of Jesus in eternal. In eternity, through his eternal workings. Note the Greek verb rendered fully able is derived from the verb denoting the ones having been precapacitated. Such ones may be having been made highly capable and abundantly able to have comprehended all the ramifications of God's eternal working in his divine decree. Knowledge of him and what his will and purpose is in your life. You know, some people go through life and they don't know what their purpose is. They say, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, you know what I tell them when they say, what do you think I'm supposed to be doing? I say, what you doing? What you doing? You are supposed to be doing what you're doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, what you're doing today may look different than what you do tomorrow as you go on this matrix, go into these segments. But what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. And you know what? We being fickle as we are, you know, we want to try a lot of different things. We want to be different people. We want to look different ways. But what you are is what you is. And you is because you is always is. And what is. Yeah. It is. It's now. The eternal now. You are. I know that's not good English. I know I messed it up. But you got an idea that it's now. Faith is when? Now. Walking by faith is when? Now. Yeah, yeah. Being in the divine will and plan and purpose of God is now. So where you are now is where you're supposed to be. And when God gets ready for the change, and we used to sing a song, you got to move. You got to move. You got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Yeah, I was telling one of my daughters that. I said, you know what? I said, when God gets ready, you will move. And she thought I was talking about physically moving. I said, no, in your life, you'll move. Because God moves us along the grid in the matrix. There's no accidents. There's no coincidence. There's no need of you saying woulda, shoulda, coulda, and having regrets. Where you are is where you're supposed to be. So that's why we should enter into the rest of our faith. Realizing that God already got it. Are we comfortable all the time? No. Are we unhappy sometime? Yes. But it's temporary. This too shall pass. It came to pass. That's the reason it came. So that it could pass. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So keep that in mind. Here the infinitive rendered comprehend is derived from and literally denoting to take hold of, hence, those that may be manifestly capable of intellectually grasping, mentally laying hold and understanding with all the saints, enlightened aspects of the extent of God's actualized decree, the extent of the fact that he's in control, the extent of the fact that your life is prearranged, the extent of the fact that God, it's all about him, not about us. This is defined in a vast quadrangle with what is prevalent in translating of breadth, length, height, and depth. The statement that you may be having been fully enabled to, having comprehended with all the saints, conveys ultimate growth and development and testimony in the body of Christ. And we're all moving in that direction. At least I'm moving some, a little bit, hopefully. In viewing the essence of eternal scriptural actualization, those of whom such blessings having been bestowed in this encyclical epistle together with all saints are and having been caused to abundantly comprehend the limitless provisions of Christ in eternity. Do you know, we used to sing a song, God is all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's what you need to get through this day. Don't worry about tomorrow. He already got that covered too. Yeah. And, you know, the Bible says sufficient is evil thereby of the days that come. You know, don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about whether or not you have enough. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about your kids. You know, I got 10 kids. Don't worry about them. God's got them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every single one of them. You know, they may not be doing what we want them to do, but did you do everything your parents wanted you to do? I didn't. See, I'm honest. No, I didn't. Yeah. Did we make mistakes? Absolutely. But that was part of your plan. So wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. Whatever's going on is what's supposed to go on. When God gets ready for you to change, guess what? You'll change because you already have changed. You just haven't caught up with it yet. Yeah. It just hasn't manifested yet. But it's already done. Our lives are completed in Christ in God. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes we always want to change folks. You know, we want to change our mates. We want to change our kids. We want to change our boss. We want to change our neighbors. I don't want to change you, Ruth. I don't want to change my neighbor. You know, we want to change others. But you know, whenever I would take those concerns to the Lord in prayer, guess who the spotlight shined on? He always talked to me about me. I said, well, Lord, I'm praying about William. William ain't doing so and so. And as I sit and meditate, what would flash before me was my shortcoming. Oh, my God. You know, kind of like this woman who was fat, who had a husband, was unsaved. And he was cutting up. Because, you know, unsaved folks cut up. Saved folks cut up, too. Yeah, because they all depraved. Everybody depraved. So she's praying about this husband. She said, Lord, she said, I'm going to fast and pray until there's a change in my home. So she started putting the plate back. She's praying and she's singing songs and spiritual hymns and she's fasting. And on the third day, she felt in her heart, the Lord said, go ahead and eat. She said, oh, no, Lord. She said, I can't eat because I'm waiting for the change in my home. He says, your home have changed. You changed. You stop nagging. You stop complaining. You stop being self-righteous. You stop, you know. So he started pointing to her flaws. Yes, yeah, she had changed. Her fasting and meditating had gotten her to a point where her eyes were open and she was beholden the knowledge and the will of God. She changed. See, prayer does change things. It changes you. That changed God because God's thing is already done and completed. It changes you. So she was fasting and praying and worrying God and, you know, and then he said, come on, eat because it's been a change. You changed. So our praying should impact us. Help us to align our lives with the divine will and purpose of God. The eternal workings of God are actualized and orientated in his divine decree. They are thus complementary testimonies and manifestation of God's eternal plan, will, and purpose. The exhibiting the majesty and mastery of his power and wisdom, which he will in the end display to all. And that references Ephesians 3 and 10. And reader, can you read that? And guess what, guys? I'm running out of time. I got too much stuff. I'll do the other part the next time, Lord will.
Okay. Now to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, again, King James Version. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
God will exhibit the mastery of his power and wisdom, which he will in the end display to all. Hence, originality of all creation and operations reside within the ingredients of the aforementioned consistencies, that is, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. This is spiritually discernible. The big picture. Everybody say big picture. The realistic side of existence. That's where the big picture is. It's eternal. Everything comprising Elected One's memorial trip through the time capsule encompasses a collection of tribute trinkets. Your life is a testimony to God. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all in God's plan for you. It's a testimony to God as you sojourn as we go through these phases of our life. It's a testament to God. Even the occurrences that feature the so often misconstrued exhibitions of random impressionism are actually manifest adventures historically solely in the sense of eternal intentions. Scriptural research in the Gospel of Grace exudes the successful finality of all having been enlisted in the limited communications of mankind's limited ability due to human depravity, yet the extolling of God's unlimitedness. Do you know that God blesses us in spite of us? God is blessing you even when you don't feel like you're being blessed. God is blessing you even when you don't interpret it as a blessing. It is a blessing. Because what? Because God is perfect. God is what His will is final. His purposes are true. We can trust Him. We can rely on Him. We can believe in Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all missed the place to shout. Oh my God. God is our all in all. Hallelujah. The Grace Gospel Church Ministry believes and teaches that extremes of antithetical entropies do not preclude accomplishment of God's purpose according to the pleasure of His will. Neither the manifested ages of chaos nor assaults of conflicts are ever a barrier to His power and His wisdom in any sense. Hence, what must be comprehended is what is measured in view of God, which is rendered His breadth, yet denoting the uttermost of His actualized extent of purpose. This spiritual dimension is solely the determinant that controls the manifest in the physical, secular, time-space dimensions, which are both characterized and qualified as length, rendered height, and, of course, rendered depth. The latter physical dimensions are expressed in what is observed in the measures of delineating manifestation of creations and occurrences on the matrix. Yet, what is not observable in the physical form is unseen in that it imbues the unlimited essence of God's decree in eternity. It's talking about that breath, that it's invisible. The purposes of God are invisible in the sole actuality of its residing existence. Why does anything manifest? Why does anything occur in your life? Why do things happen? Why do people come? Why do things go? Because it's according to God's divine will and purpose for you. And I'm not going to be able to get to the second section. Hallelujah. You give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as you know, we are a teaching church. And the part that I'm not going to be able to give you, I want you to study on your own. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, and we're going to refer to there's a plethora of scriptural validations that exhibit the illustrations of how God moves in the physical and how He's managing things. One of them is the incident at the Sea of Galilee, and you'll find that in Luke 8:22-25. It also references Mark 4:41, and you can make a notation of that, those in our World Wide Web audience. Also, I didn't talk about feeding the 5,000, which is Matthew 14:15-21. And so you can make a notation of that. And of course, we were going to talk about healing the blind man that was from birth, and that's in St. John chapter 9. And then finally, Lazarus in John chapter 11. If the Lord be willing, I'll be able to bring some of that information to you the next time, but I do not want to belabor you. I'd like to end, though, the way I began. Viewing life from the vertical plan and what God did for us in His eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to your daily lives. May God bless you.
Hey, hey, hey. Give God a hand, praise. Hallelujah.